going to put a little saying up here on the board somewhere. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Now, you think about that a little bit. It sounds kind of corny, but it applies to a lot of things. It applies to many parts of your life. It has to do with priority. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Because it's easy to get off track. You know, we start out, I'm good at this. I start out to clean my drawer, and then I have one drawer that just collects stuff. That's the only drawer in the house that's allowed to do that. And that's my drawer, and it's full of stuff. And sometimes I have to dump it out and start going through it, and I'm surprised what's in there from yesteryear, down buried. But it's so easy, as I go through it, what happens? I find something, and then pretty soon I'm got to go read a book or look something up or think about that, and then, well, the main thing isn't kept as a main thing. What's the primary purpose of the church? You might have different answers, but what's the main thing? Well, someone might say, well, it's supposed to grow, so it should get big. Oh? I like it when it's entertaining. The worship service should be entertaining. If I don't go home having been entertained, then I probably don't feel much about going to worship. Perhaps the main thing for the church is to have dynamic groups, which is great. Dynamic youth group, dynamic young adults, dynamic old people. We have trouble with dynamic. Maybe it's having a beautiful building, status in the community. What's the main thing? Lord, keep us on the main thing. The main goal of the church is to glorify God by obeying God. The main thing for the church as the body of Christ is to glorify the head of the body, which is Jesus Christ. If the church is not doing the main thing, then all the other things are not relevant. So we have to maintain our focus. And in order to do that, we have to call to remembrance some things. And we need some people to stand up and say, now, wait a minute, we're kind of sliding this way, or we're kind of sliding that way, or we've kind of got things out of kilter of what's really important and what isn't. Who's going to do that? Well, the body is made up of different members, different ones with different gifts to do different things. But one of the people that have to be involved here is we need someone to be a minister. Someone who can help keep us on target. Someone who can say, wait a minute, we need to keep the main thing the main thing. So this morning, although we could talk about other parts of the body and other administrations and other programs and discipleships and involvements that are important, we are focused today on one, a minister. So what's the main thing? Obviously, he needs a main thing. Well, I think it's, well, you could say it's visiting the sick, because when I'm sick, he better show up. Suddenly, when I'm sick, that's the main thing. Well, that's important. I'm glad he does. We need him at the nursing homes. A lot of people there. And they certainly are blessed by his presence. But is that the main thing? You know, we say, well, how about weddings and funerals? They keep occurring. If you don't have one, you have the other, or you have both. Counseling. Call him up. He's supposed to have the answers. When I went from the Midwest to the West Coast, I thought I knew all the answers, and I found out I haven't even heard the questions yet. Whole different world out there. Whole way of culture of doing things differently. It was an eye-opener. I think the main thing for the minister is to shovel snow. And so we're going to ordain him today to shovel snow. That's not the main thing, is it? No. He could help the deacons change light bulbs. He's tall enough. I'm not much help. What is the main thing? The main thing is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going to give you several scriptures. We're going to go bing, 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 bing. But I want you to look at and kind of pick out what is the main thing in each of these verses. Okay? Here we go. Mark 16:15. Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Acts 10:42, he, meaning God, commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. Romans 10:14, are you staying with me? Romans 10:14-15, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. 1 Timothy 4:13. Paul writing to his mentoring Timothy, until I come, devote yourself to public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. What's the key word? Thank you. It's the main thing. And the word preach actually comes from a Greek word that means to make an announcement for a king. How honored is that? That the preacher is one who makes the announcements for the king. Peter Cartwright was a famous evangelist preacher long ago. He was known for his uncompromising preaching. And one day, President Andrew Jackson, the president, attended his worship. So there were those who, because they knew that Cartwright was known for his plain speaking, they kind of coached him on the side and said, now, you really need to be cautious and careful what you say here because the president's in the audience. So he got up and here's the first words out of his mouth. I understand that President Andrew Jackson is here this morning. I've been requested to be very guarded in my remarks. Let me say this. Andrew Jackson will go to hell if he doesn't repent of his sins. And the congregation gasped. Andrew Jackson came to him afterward, and here's what Andrew Jackson said. Sir, if I had a regiment of men like you, I could conquer the world. You know, if we had a regiment of men in the pulpit like Cartwright, the world could be changed. And that's what God wants for the world. He wants it to be changed. And he calls men to stand in the pulpit, stand on the street corners, and declare God's will. You know, right now it's kind of a contentious political season. I'm tired of it already. Amen to that. Put them all on a ship and... Phew. Oh, well. But I will tell you this. It's important to have right senators. And it's important to have right representatives. And it's important to get the right president. Or if you're in a nation that has a king, to get the right king. But the person who has the kind of power that can change the world is a simple preacher. Because it's the gospel, it's the power of God that changes people. And if you change people, you change nations. And if you change nations, you change the world. Today, we're asking for God's blessing as we set apart Jonathan Adams as our minister here. And his God-given mandate is simple. Preach Christ crucified. And remind us and equip us with the Word of God. Remind us and call us attention to us anywhere where we're not centered on the main thing. So reprove and rebuke and exhort us in any way, in any manner that it takes to keep us with the main thing. And our main thing here is that we are the family of God and we want to glorify our God by obeying our God. Then we have the main thing. So we would ask Jonathan to come up. We have a special chair for him. Right there. Got his name on it. And one for Tom. We are elders together. Rex could not be with us today or we'd have another chair. The first thing I want to do with Jonathan quickly is to share with you his background. Someone says, I don't know anything about him. Well, let's learn a few things about him, at least by way of his background and credentials. He surrendered his life to Jesus and was immersed into Christ at the age of 13 in Cape Cod, Massachusetts. His initial biblical instruction was done by his father, but later a more formal and intense course of tutoring and discipleship was done by his uncle in Independence, Missouri. Kansas. Yay for Kansas. I didn't know there was an independent. Well. Upon the completion of serving his country for 6 years in the Navy, thank you for serving our country, Jonathan expressed his desire to serve his Lord in ministry. His minister in Ventura, California, became his mentor over the next several months. His mentor was highly qualified for this undertaking because he holds a BA in business and a master's degree in religion from Pepperdine University. And the broad course of mentoring studies that he put Jonathan through covered all the aspects that had to do with preparing Jonathan for the Lord's service, including being the leader of a young adults group. Along with his ongoing biblical studies, Jonathan completed his BA in business at Western Governors University, and he's completed over a year of study at Grand Canyon University toward a master's degree in professional counseling. Now you look at all of that and someone says, but I don't see Bible college. And he mentioned that to me one day. I said, you don't need Bible college. You're so far ahead of Bible college, you have no idea. You would be a teacher there, not a student. But people aren't going to want me to be their minister because I don't have this diploma, this piece of paper from a Bible college. I said, this congregation will, and we're blessed. Amen. And the true discipleship training that he's received is similar to Apostle Paul's mentoring of Timothy. If you look at how Paul mentored Timothy, Timothy never went to Bible college. He followed the Apostle Paul and he listened to him. And Paul gave him instructions and he listened to those instructions. And he turned his heart to the Lord and he turned his heart over to the Lord. And he became a very effective minister. He didn't need a Bible college diploma. He's going to get a better diploma from his Lord. Over the past 2.5 years, of course, he's been progressively involved in our ministry here, leading up to the beginning of the first of the year when he started preaching full time. Additionally, God has blessed him with a beautiful wife. And they've been married about a year and a half. Now, if that's not right, I got it from him. And she's a wonderful compliment to his ministry. So what I want to say here is we, the elders and deacons, hereby commend Jonathan Adams to the grace of God for the work of the ministry of the gospel.
Okay. Jonathan has a great passion for helping us walk right with God. And he'd like to be set apart for a responsibility of doing that. He's been challenged by the example of Timothy, of Epaphras. And I'd like to read a passage about Epaphras, if I can say his name right. All over the world, this gospel has been producing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. So this morning we'd like to ask Jonathan some questions to commit himself to the responsibility of a minister here at the church. And Jonathan, if you'll answer the questions, I do or I will with God's help. Jonathan, do you earnestly desire to be set apart for the ministry of the gospel here at the church in Aurora?
I do.
Will you be diligent to do the work of a minister, of a servant, preaching the word, continuing in prayer, making disciples, building up the church, equipping the congregation, committing the word to faithful men, to assist in appointing qualified elders, and to serve God in every way to the best of your abilities?
With God's help, I will.
Will you commit yourself to the reading and study of Scripture, always upholding its truth, so you can show yourself approved to God, being capable of handling the word of truth correctly at all times?
With God's help, I will.
Will you earnestly seek to cultivate in your heart the virtue of peace, gentleness, patience, meekness, love, in order to minister to the spiritual needs of the congregation?
With God's help, I will.
Are you willing to suffer hardship as a soldier of Jesus Christ, to avoid the allurements of the world and its gain and lust, to be motivated solely by your love for God and men, trying to bring glory to God and salvation to those around you?
With God's help, I will.
Will you give yourself completely to your ministry, being diligent in your duties, being attentive to yourself and your teaching, carefully setting the best possible example for those in and out of the church, not showing partiality, but always conducting yourself with sincerity, sobriety, and purity?
With God's help, I will.
Okay. Well, now it's our part, because it's a two-way street, that he commits himself to us and we to him. So I'd like to read first this verse in 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 and 13, and it says, "Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord and admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work, and live with peace in each other." In this verse, Paul asks the people in Thessalonica to acknowledge those who work, to hold them in the highest regard, and to live at peace, to make their role very easy. And so today, as we acknowledge Jonathan as our senior minister, we'd like to make a pledge to him, and I'd like you to just repeat after me these words.
Stand.
I pledge this day,
to
hold Jonathan in the highest regard in love.
Hold Jonathan in the highest regard in love.
Trusting him to exhort, encourage, and rebuke.
Trusting him to exhort, rebuke, and rebuke.
Praying for him.
Praying for him.
That he will not fall into temptation.
That he would not fall into temptation.
That he will grow in wisdom and knowledge.
He will grow in wisdom and knowledge.
We commit to make his labor a joy.
We commit to make his labor a joy.
And not a burden.
And not a burden.
Thank you.
The laying on of hands is that moment where the elders then set apart, representing everyone here. We set him apart and dedicate him to God for the ministry, the responsibility, and the accountability that goes with being a minister of God. And we do so prayerfully, not just our prayer right now, but our prayer always. And as Tom has expressed, how we live among ourselves, how we treat one another, how we love one another is going to go a long way to determining the joy that we bring to his labors. And the devil's going to be after him. Discouragement is right around the corner. It's a hard road. I can speak to that. And it's a road that sometimes you need other people to pick you up and to encourage you and to love you in a special way. And so we now, as elders, commit Jonathan to the Lord and to you as ministers of Christ. And I'll let Tom pray first.
Dear Lord, we come to you this morning with Jonathan, presenting him before you as a faithful servant. Lord, we know it's you who makes us who we are, and it's you who validates our lives in you. So we ask you to do that with Jonathan, Lord, to make him strong, to fill him with your spirit, to fill him with patience, kindness, love, and the fruits of the spirit, to help him be very aware and observant of the church here and who might be faltering and who needs to be built up. Thank you, Lord, for the love you've placed in his heart, and I pray that you'll help him to love us like you do, Lord. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Father, we're so thankful that we can approach your throne. You've given us that right in and through the giving of your Son and opened a door where we can bring our petitions to you, but also to bring our praise and to return your goodness and love back to you in being your children. And Lord, we thank you for this young man and his dedication. We thank you for his education. We thank you for his great desire. I pray, Lord, that you will nurture that and expand that, and it'll grow. And Lord, that in as it abounds in him, it will in turn overflow and abound in us. Bless him in his ministry, in his thoughts, in his prayers, in his outreach, how he reaches each one of us, Lord. Give him special wisdom that only you can give, and that you will honor him as he preaches your word in season and out of season to be your man. And Lord, we support him in that, and we want to hear those words. We know, Lord, your truths are the truths that are going to change not only us, but change the world. And that we might reach those, Lord, who need Christ so badly, and that you will use this young man in the gifts that you have given him, that you will bless him as he does so. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. May we honor you, all of us. We all give you thanks, and we all give you thanks in the name of Jesus. And I say, even so, come, Lord Jesus, real quick. And all of us said, amen. So I would take this moment to read a special charge to Jonathan regarding his commitment. And it reads as follows. Jonathan, in view of the commitment you've just made before God in this congregation and in conjunction with the action this, the church in Aurora, is taking to separate you for the work of a minister, I hereby charge you in the sight of God and Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be urgent, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. Be sober in all things, suffer hardship, do the work of a minister fulfilling your ministry. And so long as you fulfill your commitment to Christ and being a faithful minister and continue to serve him in accordance with the Holy Scriptures, the church in Aurora, under the direction of its elders, gives you its unqualified endorsement and support. And I borrow Paul's words of charge to Timothy because they apply so aptly to what we're doing here. And so I read Paul's words to Timothy. I now read them to Jonathan. O man of God, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Lay hold on the life eternal, whereunto you were called and did confess a good confession in the sight of many witnesses. I charge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed the good confession, that you keep the commandment without spot, without reproach, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. And may the Lord bless you, Jonathan, and always keep you faithful in his service. And I would invite his lovely wife to join us on stage. What a lovely couple, right? And I want to introduce them to you as your new minister, ongoing minister, and his helpmeet. And we have something else that's to be presented, a certificate of ordination. Tom has our closing prayer. We turn the music back to Scott. And then for those who can stay, there will be following immediately baptism. And we'll talk about that shortly. Tom.
Okay. Let's pray. Lord, this is an exciting time. We're really happy for Jonathan, Julie. Thank you for the work you've done in their lives. And we thank you for the work that they'll be doing here and all of the benefit that we'll receive from that. Lord, I thank you for helping us support them in their work. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Very best to you. Very best to you. Get back there and sing.